and welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I'm here in the studio tonight with Max Taylor. Max is considered one of the, they made a movie, I don't know how long ago it was now, called Master Artists of the Bahamas. And Max was in that show. He's certainly a master. He's had a very large solo show at the National Art Gallery before my time called Paperworks, which was mostly focused on his printmaking practice, even though Max is a very accomplished painter and ceramicist. He's really known for his prints, and he's organized this show called Imprint, which is taking place at Dungalook Studios. It's opening on Friday, but it's open for another month. But you can go to the opening on Friday night, this Friday, between 6 and 9, and meet some other Bahamian printmakers. So, Max, why did you want to do this? And tell us about the other printmakers. Do you have like a little community? Do you share your techniques? Do you speak about the state of Bahamian printmaking? Or is this now the first time you're trying to kind of get together as a group?
Yeah, this is the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, and mind you, we do have a couple of printmakers in Nassau. And Sue Katz and even John Cox.
That's true. Also, yeah. John's really, he really started as a printmaker. That's true.
Because I think he's very good at silkscreens. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I think he also have his own, silkscreen box where he takes all his, photo silkscreens, So, and there are a couple others who are, but I would say right now I'm probably about the one who is really active, and Sue, and also what's her name now? Who was supposed to hold the show with us?
Kendra Farah.
Kendra Thorup, yeah, she is also a printmaker. But what I'm simply trying to say is that, we have a lot of painters in the Bahamas, but it would be good if we have a couple more printmakers in the Bahamas. And matter of fact, all of you who are collecting, it'll probably be much cheaper to collect prints rather than paintings.
Definitely, because they're somehow the labor goes into the object that you print with, but then you can make many prints. But that doesn't mean that there's going to be many, many of the same print. So again, like if you have a block, you could print, but then you could do something to make that block unique. You could print it a different color. You could add something with your hand. So printmaking is very interesting for that too, because it's like you can take an image, but it doesn't always have to come out precisely the same. Mm-hmm. And I've seen that with some of your work. Like you'll have a block, you'll have a woodcut, mm-hmm. and one will be, I remember one that was like an over-the-hill scene, and but it was sort of like blue, so almost Bahamian colors. It was turquoise and yellow, but then you did it again, but there was like pink and yellow. And that color changed the feeling of the scene too, which was really interesting.
Yeah, because, as I said, when you look at prints, it's not as expensive. It's time-consuming, mm-hmm. And when you think about printmaking, man, you have almost about 12 different techniques, mm-hmm. You have mm-hmm. woodcuts, you have lino cuts, mm-hmm. you have silk screens, mm-hmm. you have wood engraving, you also
lithograph.
Have lithography is fantastic, and all these
which is
mediums,
with a stone, where you use the stone
as the
object.
Yes, yeah, so it'll be interesting that I do hope that. Matter of fact, I met a couple of our students at the College of the, is it called?
It's University of the Bahamas
University
now.
I
know, we all have to remember. Yeah. It's UB now, University.
Yeah. They have some young people who are interested. One of the most fascinating things that I really learned is that when I was in New York, and also when I gave artists in residence at Tampa, Florida, you had a fantastic amount of young Americans who are taking up printmaking.
Yeah, no, I think printmaking is really fascinating to a lot of people.
Uh-huh. Even in Canada, you're taking up. But here in Nassau, we just have very, very few, students.
So what do you think is needed then? Is it the materials? I mean, I guess you have to have a print machine. I mean, but you also did some of your printing by hand, right?
Yeah.
So even if you don't have a press, you could still...
You could... Rub the spoon.
Yeah.
I was in I was in Cuba, mm-hmm. and it is amazing that the lack of materials that Cuba has, mm-hmm. but they're still rubbing their blocks with an aluminum cup.
Wow.
And their prints are fantastic. in Cuba.
You know, so it's a bit like brass rubbing. You sort of get down on your knees and just rub away. Yeah,
yeah, but it's just amazing. And also, you probably, I don't know about Jamaica, but, you know, you have some Jamaican printmakers also. But it would be interesting that students in the Bahamas can get interested in printmaking. But then I suppose, in a sense, it's up to the teachers. Because most of the teachers can only teach, you know.
Right. Well, you need a printmaker to be able to teach printmaking.
Exactly,
right. Exactly. Yeah. And if we have a dearth of printmakers, then I don't know whether in Europe it's part of a foundation class to have to do printmaking. I think it is, but I don't know. I mean, it is, but I don't know how in depth you go, like whether you also stop at woodblock and lino cut, or whether you also you start etching and silver point. Have you ever done silver point?
Oh, boy. Silver point is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't tried it, but I would like to, but, you know.
Yeah.
But, yes, you're very right, because when you go to art school, you just go through brief stages of what this and that is, and they don't take that much, you know, time with it. But then again, if you really want to be a printmaker, you know, if you want a master's degree in printmaking or a bachelor's degree, then you can take it much further at the university. But here, we don't even have the materials, or, you know, most of the teachers really only go to a certain extent, because that's also where their knowledge in printmaking goes also.
So what you're saying is we have to start a school with you and Kendra as the professors.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
That'd be a very good idea. Yeah.
And
keep saying it's a fascinating techniques in printmaking.
It really is. And I think what I saw Kendra doing, I think it's also very easy to get excited, because there's something about, like, I saw she was doing a workshop. She did one at UB with the students. She also did a couple of classes at Bahamar, and where you bring in objects and you make prints out of the objects. And so very quickly you can sort of see a result that looks sort of professional, right? Because, again, if you're learning how to draw or paint, you know, you can get frustrated with yourself. And I'm sure you can with printmaking too, but I thought it was really interesting. She asked people to bring in objects, and it allowed to, you know, create a piece that was really, you know, that was very satisfying, I think, for the people that participated. And they were making sort of collages with leaves and things like that, and then making prints from the collages. It was really a fascinating way to spark of interest.
Excuse me. Well, you brought up a good point, and what I'm simply trying to say, when I was in school, you had monoprinting, which really wasn't that popular, but now it's very popular. And I think Kendra is very good at monoprinting.
She is.
Yeah. You know, so that if you don't like one thing, you can probably start. But it's exciting what people are doing with monoprinting. Because during my time in school, you never had monoprinting inks. But now you have monoprinting inks.
And compared to oil paints, is it more affordable as a material?
Be honest with you.
No.
It's just amazing how expensive materials are becoming, especially paper.
Good paper, yeah.
Especially good paper, yeah, you know. But yes,
that's why you got to make your own.
I don't know.
Get together with Sonia Farmer. She can make you some paper.
Because, you know, paper is very expensive to me, because, you know, my blocks, I'm working on 3 blocks now that, you know, they're over 7 feet. But then when you have an artist, his name is, I can't remember his name, but he's using, printmaking is gone, he's using laser printing.
Wow. Yeah. A Bahamian? Is it Omar?
Yeah.
Richardson. Yeah, Omar Richardson. Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a laser printing.
Wow.
You know? But you need a laser machine, you know. I would like to try it, but one of the reasons I don't like it is because of the, it's so meticulous, you know. So, but you can see the difference between a laser print than a print that is done with a cutting with a, you know, a tool. Because the tool is very, you can see it when you print it, the difference.
It's sort of the difference between high-def film and Super 8, you know, or something like that. You know how, like, the tools have become so good that there's no, I don't even know the word, because there's something romantic about a mistake, or, you know, in old movies when you got that flash of the sun and it would sort of blind you for a second, and there's something very real and very human about that.
And
I feel like the new material is a bit like digital photography compared to maybe another kind of photography, that, you know, you're losing something. You're losing that sort of human chance or mistake or happy accident or the really the kind of feeling of the hand and the eye, because it becomes very mechanical.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point, because we have lost a lot of our, you know, everything. Technology has really taken over.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you look at the United States and Europe, one of the good things are is people are still making horseshoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you see, we're not plaiting and stuff like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Everything's coming from China
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But it's good if we can continue those traditions.
Absolutely. Well, and in the States, it's interesting how when you look at culture is like the States, it's been like this very strong economic engine for so long, and they sort of had everything they could want, that now there's a return to handmade things.
Yeah.
And they're becoming very sought after, handmade belts, leather, bags, like everything really like leather working, woodworking. You know, I watch a lot of, because I'm really interested in that, I watch a lot of like documentaries about those things and how sort of, you know, family-run guitar makers are now coming back into business because people want things that are handmade, because they're sort of a swing back to. So I think, I hope that we'll catch up to that, or not catch up to it, but we won't go through that. We won't have to go through that phase of everything being machine-made and lose our traditions. So I'm hoping that that kind of, that sense of wanting, you know, artisanal, right? Yes. That's the word I was thinking of. Artisanal. Everything's artisanal in the States now, you know, and basically it's to go back to those. Mm-hmm. And I think people miss it. Human contact. And even if the human contact is through the fact that, you know, a hand made that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to give you an illustration, because, you know, living in the States, right? I used to go to all the festivals,
mm-hmm.
specifically the one in our Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
It's River Festival. And, excuse me. And I remember a guy, I forgot his name. I think his name is Joe something, but his stall was right opposite mine. And what he used to do, he would get old bottles, you know, and stuff like that, and he would do his own drawings on these bottles and things like that, mm-hmm. you know. And his work was sort of very simplistic, like, what's his name? Amos Ferguson.
Amos Ferguson, yeah.
And I think people still don't understand Amos Ferguson's work.
I didn't think so either.
Brilliant guy who Metropolitan Museum has taken interest in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we're still saying that, oh, it's childlike in this. You remember the other French artist, Henri Rousseau?
Sure, of course,
Working, but, you know, we still are not able to appreciate Amos Ferguson.
Because I think it's interesting. You said something right at the beginning of the show, which is that you said there were people, and when you were at school, there were some people that could draw better than you. But here you are, the master artist. And I think it's interesting because it's not only about technique. I think just being able to just do something well isn't what makes you great. That just makes you good. Mm-hmm. Doing something really well is about like something inside. It's about soul and passion and vision, and I think vision is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So being able to just look at something and make a picture that looks like it that's not what makes great art.
No, it goes further than that. You know, it all depends on the individual
too,
and the society also. You know,
but Amos had a vision, right? He had a vision of the world that was so unique,
and his work was appreciated in the United States more than it was appreciated in Nassau.
It's true.
You know,
People
still look at it as, naive, but it goes much further than that.
Well, what was really fun when we did a retrospective, it was one of the first shows that I did when I came back home, right? We did an Amos Ferguson retrospective, and we made a room at the National Art Gallery where we had all the materials that Amos would work with, cardboard and house paint and nails and very simple paintbrushes. And we actually allowed people to try, and we had a couple of Amos Fergusons hanging in that room, and we said, okay, paint like Amos, you do it.
Yeah.
No one could do it. Because it looks easy, but it's not easy.
No, it isn't.
No one could do it, neither in a child nor an adult. Uh-huh. And so again, it's easy to say, oh, that looks simple, that looks like I could do it. No, you can't.
No. Nope. He was fantastic.
Yeah, he really was. So with this show, Imprint, are you hoping to kind of inspire some younger artists to get more interested in printmaking? Was that the drive behind getting these other printmakers together to do this exhibition?
Well, in a sense, I probably would go a little bit further, that everybody's collecting our paintings, you know. We can start collecting prints, you know. But as I said, we probably would, it'll be good if we have other printmakers in Nassau who have gone into something else. But then that's I can't speak for them, but I can only speak for myself. I find it interesting. I find it disciplined. You know, it takes time, you know, and I have a profound interest to continue it. And as I said, I would love to continue teaching some of the kids the basic methods in printmaking.
Okay, well then we have to organize a workshop. Done. Talk to my education team. We should get materials done. No, I mean, it would be, we do actually, and you might not even know this. I can't believe I'm sitting now saying it on the radio, but we still teach, when we travel to the Family Islands, we still teach a printmaking workshop that was based on the exhibition we did, which was called Maximus. And we toured Max Taylor Works and Amos Ferguson Works around the Family Islands. And we did a Paint Like Amos workshop, and we did a Max Taylor printmaking workshop. And we still, even with the new show, which is a mix of many Bahamian artists that we've taken to, I think we've been to Exuma, we've been to Abaco, we've been to Eleuthera, we're still doing a printmaking workshop. So we're taking printmaking to all the Family Islands.
Can I go a little bit further with that? Because a lot of people don't realize that I was teaching in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And when I was teaching in South Carolina, one of the fantastic things is that they didn't have a curriculum program in their schools. So they sent artists to all the rural areas. I was one of them.
Wow.
And I sort of presented this idea to CS, but he said, you know, we're not ready for that. But what I'm trying to say is that in South Carolina, they had an art program. All the materials were in a tractor trailer. And the tractor trailer would go to these rural areas and park the tractor trailer in a specific spot. And I would go to the schools and teach printmaking, basic printmaking. And then I also, the students were allowed to come to the tractor trailer where I taught. You know, because some of these areas I went to, I couldn't understand what they were talking.
So anybody out there with a mail boat who can, let us give that to Max Taylor. Let's talk. So it's a great idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea to take it to the Outer Islands instead of the Outer Islands.
Yeah, exactly, because it's so hard for people on the Family Islands to make it to Nassau. So we are trying to do that. We are sort of already doing it, but probably not enough. And next time, maybe we have to take you with us.
That'd be great. You know, I think what's Antonius Roberts is, I think he has a fantastic ideas about, you know, doing, because Antonius was, he was responsible for a project that I did in Gregorytown some years ago, where we did some, you know, silk screens, I think, and most of the people took advantage of it.
Yeah, now silk screens are a lot of fun. That's actually really fun too. We do that sometimes at NAGB because it's kind of messy and you can sort of have fun with it. So, Max, I can't believe it, but our hour is already up. So I want to thank you for coming in. It was great to hear more about your passion for printmaking, and I really encourage people that are listening to go out on Friday night, which is in 2 nights, to Dungalik Studios on Village Road from 6 to 9 and see this exhibition called Imprint. It will be up until January, but again, as I always say, the artists love to see you, the community loves to see you. There you go. See, heard it right from Max. Please come.
Please
right?
come. Yeah.
Please come. It's nice that artists love to see
I'm on
the
my
community.
Knees, you know.
So come on out. We'll all be there. And we're looking forward to seeing you. And thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening, and have a good night.